Joining us now is Jason Kendall, former Brewer, played on a number of other teams, three-time All-Star. If you don't know who Jason Kendall is, then you don't know baseball. Good afternoon, Jason.
Homer, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show. And yes, Joe Rand is one of the best people I've ever met. Obviously a great baseball player, but an even better person. So I'll do anything that he says, a joker. But thanks for having me.
All right, and his mom was 10 times better than he is. So
That's what he always told me.
All right, well, then he was, and he made her do weird things because she was an artist. Anyway, so Jason Kendall, three-time All-Star. I didn't know exactly of all the things that you've done in baseball, you did in baseball, played 15 years. I think the most famous thing was that I think your dad played 12 years, you played 15. I'll bet there aren't five people in the history of the world in which the father and son played a grand total of 27 years in the big leagues. Am I right?
You're actually correct, and it's funny because my dad was coaching with, I believe, the Colorado Rockies at the time, and he goes, "Hey, Jay, you got to keep going," because at the time the Hundleys had the record. So, but I'm pretty
that
sure
would be
we
Randy Hundley, who I'm old enough to remember because I'm 70. I don't know how old you are. You're not 70. His kid was much better than he was, and he was pretty good too. You were much better than your dad, and your dad was okay too. Yeah.
All right, pretty good player.
So you've whooped the Hundleys. So you're number one on the list, right?
For
27 years? For 27 years, father and son? Or 27?
20. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're number one. I know that because my dad told me. He goes, you got to keep playing so we can beat
the
record
and
be number one at something. I did, yeah.
All right, I had to ask you, because everybody tells me how important catchers are, and I'll deep down tell you, Jason, I'm not sure. And William Contreras is getting a lot of credit this year for the Brewers, and you played on a number of teams. You played on playoffs for different teams. Well, what's appropriate as to what importance a catcher has, especially in today's world where the pitching is just weird and people pitch an inning and tell us, what's appropriate of a catcher's importance in your game, when you played, and today?
I think the most important thing, even in today's game and when I played, was you have to earn the trust from your staff, from your starters and your bullpen, in order to you don't want them thinking out there. They're there for a reason. They have million-dollar arms, multi-million-dollar arms now, but and you don't want them to think. The second they start thinking, but you have to earn that trust as a catcher. I mean, I was at the ballpark.
So you called all the pitches?
Yes. I mean, and at the end of the day, the pitcher has the ball in their hand. But there's a lot of pitchers where you have to, you know, if the ball's hit out of the ballpark, hey, where was that? Was I going to pitch? And you take the blame for him. Thinking in your mind, no, the ball was hit 450 feet. No, it wasn't a good pitch. But you know what? That was my bad. I'll take it. Don't you worry about it. You don't want them to be able to have to think they have to do two different things. But you have to earn that respect, and that's what Contreras has done with the Brewer staff. I mean, he's not a rookie anymore, and I know that he's gone out there and does his work. I was a big film guy because it's not really who's hot coming, who do you not want to beat you, which I hate that saying, because you don't ever want to have a pitcher think, oh, I don't want this guy to beat me because that says they're better than. But you have to know who's hot that day, who's coming in. Your eight here might be 10 for his last 15. Your superstar might be 10 for his last 50. So you have to earn that trust, and you have to put in the work. And once you get that settled, and it looks like he's done this with the Brewer staff, once you get that taken care
of. Well, you had to do it with tape. Now, don't they just do it with analytics now? Don't you just get all the stats and, like, I could do it.
But no, there's a lot. There's a lot more that goes on than just analytics. And I think once the game starts, you have to. It becomes a baseball game. But I mean, there's good analytics, there's bad analytics. I mean, I used analytics. For instance, and I'll give you an example: base stealers. I'm just going to throw a name out there: Andrew Jones. Say Andrew Jones has 20 bags this year. He's got most of his bags off of a 1-1 count. He doesn't even probably know that, but it's a kind of creature of habit type thing, and
all right,
that's how it works. So those are analytics. I mean,
yes,
that I use.
Analytics or stats? You pick the stats that you think are most important. I wanted to talk to you, not only because Joe Randa's behind all of this, but you were part of the Brewers team, if I'm thinking, that made the playoffs when the Brewers hadn't been in the playoffs in like 25 years. Is that right? Like 2008? Weren't you?
Were they talking about it then?
Yeah. You've lived this. We need to do this for the fans or whatever. What was it like? It wasn't your first team, without a doubt.
So. And that, there's nothing. Milwaukee fans are amazing. And that place was packed. You know, obviously with the Cubs playing the Brewers now, too, that rivalry, I want to say, kind of started then. I think a little bit more maybe in 2007. But we went down to the last day and had to beat the Cubs to get into the playoffs. But it's funny because CeCe Sabathia and I and Prince Fielder and whoever I run into, we always talk about it. It's so nice to see, because what it was, 72 from the previous time in 2008,
82.
I believe?
They had not been to the playoffs since 1982, and you were in 2008, which was, I think, your first year with the Brewers?
It was my first year, yeah. But yeah, I mean, 82. So, I mean, it had been a long time. So something about Midwest fans, but, you know, they're diehard fan and you want to win. So it was, we had such a good team. And if Ben Sheets stays healthy and Donnie Gallardo doesn't tear his ACL midseason, we win. I mean, CeCe was just, he was done. He gave everything he had.
Explain how good, as only you can, how good CeCe Sabathia was. Because people's memories of him is off the charts.
Oh, he should probably be thrown out when the Brewers get to the World Series. He should probably throw out the first pitch. But it was the most dominating 2.5 months I personally have ever caught, but there will be nothing ever like it again. I mean,
no one could hit him? He knew what to pitch? What happened?
I did my homework, but I mean, he had that. And the fact that he did it in a free agent year is, I mean, I know the story's on and on and on, the legend grows, but he deserves credit for all of it. He literally picked the team up and put us on his back and,
right. So did he have a fastball they couldn't hit? Was it a combination of pitches? What made him literally impossible to hit during that period?
He could put the ball where he wanted to. And it was just one of those things. He had a little extra oomph on his fastball. He was put in a spot. And the thing about CeCe is the second he walked in the locker room, it was like he'd been there from the first day of spring training. It was just a... You know, obviously there's like a good week or so adjustment when you get traded. He walked in the locker room. He goes, all right, let's go, guys. And, boy, I tell you what we did. And it was one of my favorite years I was fortunate enough to play in.
You played 15 seasons talking with Jason Kendall, and you said he was, did I hear that right, the most dominant pitcher of any period in your time in the big leagues?
In 2.5 months. In those 2.5 months that I caught him. I've never seen anything. He was dominating, and I guess you can go back and probably say, hey, from the trade deadline, I think he was middle of July, I believe he got to Milwaukee. But yeah, it was the most dominating 2 months, 2.5 months that I've ever been behind the plate for.
You played for a number of teams. You follow the Brewers. Do you still have some people with the team you know, or what's the dynamic for you of the Brewers?
I do. I love it. You know, everybody always asks me, hey, what was your favorite place to play? You know, obviously I know more than anything being in Pittsburgh for 9 years, but where the places you won are the ones you remember the most. And I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to win in Oakland, and I was fortunate enough to win in Milwaukee.
Ooh, Jason, you left out one of the major reasons that I have you on. The Brewers are attempting to sweep the Cubs in a best of five, and in 2007, who were you playing?
I was on the Cubs. I was on the Cubs.
I believe they played a five-game series against Arizona. How did that go for the Cubs that year? I can't remember.
We swept.
So you have the experience to know what it's like. I don't know that you necessarily want to talk about it. To have experienced what everybody is hoping today. You are the expert on the Cubs getting swept three straight games in a five-game series.
Oh, without a doubt. Hopefully they can do that again today. But I only caught the last game, so We can blame that.
Well, but
on
is it? You were with Oakland. You swept a team and then lost, being swept by Detroit. What's the reality of you're down two games? What's real about the team that's up two and the team that's down two, if anything, about momentum, flow, all that stuff?
I'll give you everything you need to know in this. What I'm getting ready to say next. In 2006, without a doubt, we were the best team in baseball, the 2006 Oakland A's. We had the best pitching staff, best offense, et cetera, et cetera. We went into Minnesota. We swept them, took two there, two, and then one at the Coliseum. Detroit and New York went all five games in the playoffs. We had 6 days off in the Oakland Coliseum trying to take batting practice and every day, and we lost every momentum we had. We lost, and I mean, people can say it is an excuse or not an excuse, but I mean, we were full bore, and then all of a sudden we just got shut down for 6 days, and Detroit ended up kicking our butts. They swept us in four games, and I truly believe that it was because of those days off. So that's how I feel about having so much time off. But now they have everything kind of scheduled better, to where if you are going to have that much time off, it's not going to be like a full week. You're going to have a little bit less time to where you can kind of keep that momentum going.
So you're down two games. Does it even factor in? I mean, you play so many baseball games. Robin Yount, for example, when they got to 82, they lost three in a row to Baltimore, and it looked like they were going to blow it, not make the playoffs. And they're facing Jim Palmer, and he says, "We never worried. Nobody was scared." And somebody asked why, and he says, "No way any team was going to beat us four straight games." I thought, really? Maybe baseball players think that way when you have a good team. You've lost two in a row. You were there, the Cubs. The Cubs are like that now. It's happened in other games. There's so many five-game series now. What does it matter? Or do you feel like we're good? There's no way we can lose three in a row.
To the fans or to the – because I will say
players.
This. I remember walking –
I don't care about the fans. They don't count
well,
for anything.
The fan, as far as walking in as a player to the Cubs in that game, I'll never forget. The club fans were already walking around with wait till next year signs.
Seriously.
I swear to you. But as a player, no. You think you're in every game, and you have a shot to win every game. And it's just you go out and you play. And, I mean, the Yankees did it last night. They were down.
So do you need an early lead? What helps? You've lived it. You're down two or you're up two. Maybe it always helps to have an early lead. I don't know. That's probably pretty obvious.
No, without a doubt it does. Maybe drop a hit and maybe hit and run. Maybe get the runners moving and maybe, you know, with obviously the right personnel. You have to do things. And listen, Council knows all this. And he's going to do all those things, but at the same time, you tell your guys, go out and play the same way you've been playing the whole year, and good things will happen. Now, as far as the managerial side of it, which I know Council already has under his, he's got to do a couple things for guys that might not be that hot. I mean, say Tucker's not swinging the bat the way.
Yeah, he's hurt. I know Tucker. He's hurt.
Yeah,
he has to be hurt. He's really good. But
he's very good. You know what? Yeah, you play him. He's one of the guys that got you there. And you know what you do? Maybe move a runner when a runner's on with him up there. And have the little line ground ball to shortstop.
You've got to do things you would not necessarily do in 162 games.
Yes, 1,000% you do. And, Council, like I said, Council's one of my favorite teammates ever. So he knows what he has to do. And
hold on. I hate to interrupt because I always do this, but you just said that Craig Council was one of your best teammates ever, and I don't know which manager it is who said, like, he was the best player I ever have. Explain how somebody, Craig Council or anyone, can create those comments like you, and it might have been Brenly, who was his manager where they won a series with him, but he was like, Craig Council was like my best player, not as far as ability, or my favorite player of all time or something. Similar to what you just said. What, as a player, what, how, why?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how. Council and I were the older guys in the team that year in 2008, and we took it upon ourselves to be like, hey, you know what, let's get the locker room the way it should be. And what does that mean?
It means
everybody's going to go out and play baseball hard. If someone's going to be messing around or whatever, hey, get your stuff together. Excuse my language, Homer.
That's good.
et cetera, et cetera. But
what
you know,
well, explain
sure
what that means. So you don't have
to
mention a name. What's
intact?
A player? Does that happen the first five
someone
games of the season?
Yeah, it can happen in the first day of spring training. But Counts and I pretty much did a lot of that stuff. So that's probably what, part of the reason why I say he's one of my all-time favorite teammates, because we would sit there, we'd locker next to each other, and we'd talk baseball. Certain situations, what to do, what not to do, and if, you know, there's a situation where the staff may not do something, we would kind of take over, and we would do it, whether it be a hit and run. And again, I'm just throwing this as examples.
Yeah.
But we were both kind of managing that team at the same time we were playing.
Wow.
Countless times I could tell you. Yeah, they would. Countless times I could tell you when I come in, and if I whether it be a pitching coach or, hey, how's he doing? You know, you need to get so-and-so up. You got 2-3 coming up. He can't face this guy. Get him ready to come in. And that happens a lot. You have to have communications with your players. And
but if I'm on the team and Craig Counsell says something to me and I go, I don't care, old man. You're not that good. You're not good enough to tell me what to do. Now the catcher, I'm going to listen to because – you know, he deals with the pitchers a lot of that. So your ability doesn't determine whether players listen to you?
There's a respect thing. And
okay,
if someone's not
right.
Like, if someone doesn't listen to counsel, then, you know, I'll go take over that person or vice versa. So
it's
just one of those things
it's clearly fact because, again, I think that we used to play the sound. I think it was Brenly said, my favorite player ever. And I assume that's because you could count on him every second of every game, every year. All right, talking with Jason Kendall. I know you're playing golf, so I have two things. What do you want to be most remembered for? Now, I also know, like in 2008, you threw out 40% of the base stealers. I think I have that right. So how do you do that? How important is that now? They've changed the rules. I think they want more people stealing bases. I think it's probably harder to throw them out. Accuracy of any of that. Take it away, Jason Kendall.
Well, and they also made these bases a little bigger. I mean, you imagine like Vince Coleman, or I'm trying to think of Ricky Henderson. I mean, you imagine that extra inch or 2 inches, whatever it is, if they had that.
I'll defer whatever you say. They would have been impossible to throw out.
Without a doubt, because how many bang-bang plays do you see now, especially with the challenges, with the calls? Everything's a bang-bang play. It's by an inch, so. Number one, they would have had a lot. Bottom line is you have to know who's running. You have to know who's going to run and what situation they're going to run in. A lot of times today, managers are very, very obvious if you actually pay attention and or they'll give somebody the green light. And, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about the analytics that I used. Andrew Jones is base running. He's going to steal. Says on the analytics that he doesn't even know, but 80% of the time he steals on a 1-1 count. So you know what? That's where you drop a slide step, have a fastball down the way, and you make a good throw. So we had a lot of those guys. And, you know, one thing I did have with Milwaukee in 2008 is that they listened to me. And trust me, I was older at the time, and, you know, I'd be at the ballpark at noon doing my video and making sure that I can get the pitcher through as many innings as possible and then hand it over to the bullpen. So
what do you want to say about this Brewer team? No, I know you're going to hang up, but what would you say about this Brewer team? You can say whatever you want. What do you want to say?
They're scrappy, and they would play. They play the game the way I like to play it. They move runners. They how many people can sit there and name them besides the people in Wisconsin? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, they play together. They play as a team, and hopefully they can get tonight's game. Obviously, that's first and foremost, and then move on and worry about the Dodgers or. The Phillies, but I have a feeling it's going to be the Dodgers.
All right, Jason Kendall, I know you run out of time. You want to leave?
Right way, Homer.
All right, is it accurate that you in high school had a hit in 43 straight games?
Yeah, and I got intentionally walked 3 times, Homer, to end the streak. Isn't that crap?
What?
Yeah, they intentionally walked me.
Game number 44, they walked you every time?
Well, I hit a ground ball my first at bat, and then they walked me the next 3 at bats.
I got to add that to Wikipedia. I'll work on that and make it add. That needs to be in there. That's not fair to you. Thanks,
school.
And go back and play golf. Thanks.
Homer, take care.
Jason Kendall. Again, this all created because of Joe Randa and his mom is so special. Live from Magoo's on the Mound, met the owner, Mark Zierath, and he told me what I want to know. Everything is made in-house. Everything from scratch right here. And they have a shuttle for Brewer games. And you don't get it for free. You got to have $1. Yes, a dollar. You get to take the shuttle for a dollar. To which I said, shouldn't you raise it? No, a dollar's fine. And again, the reason here at Surfside, because of Surfside, Surfside team walking around samples, passing out free Surfside swag, real vodka, real brewed tea, only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar. It's found at American Family Field all season long. Make sure you grab one at the next playoff game. So again, here at Magoo's on the Mound, as there'll be a party starting at 4 for the Brewers. And yes, will this Cubs team do what Jason Kendall's Cubs teams did in 2007, get swept in 3 straight games? Next.